The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Man, this is Cortland Sutton, and you're listening to Roster Watch. Ladies and gentlemen, Roster Watch Nation, welcome back to the Epic Roster Watch Podcast, brought to you by RosterWatch.com. My name is Alex Dunlap here with The Trash Man, broadcasting on YouTube and on Periscope. Of course, you can also find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen. Always appreciate the ratings, the reviews, and in YouTube especially, the comments, the subscriptions, the thumbs up, etc. We really appreciate that stuff, and we will reply to every comment. Because there really aren't that many comments right now, so it doesn't take too much time. And we've been told that that helps us in the algorithm. So help us out. Comment, subscribe, rate, review, all that stuff. We definitely appreciate it. Trash Man, what the hell's going on, brother?
Not too much. Just languishing here in the limbo that is after the
What do you mean? We're Texas, brother.
After the quarantine's been lifted, you know, it's just like, what do you?
You're allowed to go back out.
I know you're allowed to.
You're a healthy young man. You're a healthy young man. Throw on a mask. Throw on some of those trashy gloves of yours and get out and live your life.
I'm a healthy young man, but my, 73-year-old mom with dementia is not, so
yeah.
Well, I just got to be.
She's back in Beaumont. None of those germs we're going to get from Austin to her. All right, so a couple things we wanted to talk about today. I'm basically about to pivot from the best ball cheat sheet just to spending my time testing version one of the PPR cheat sheet, just getting that out a little bit earlier. Always interesting when you start running simulations as opposed to just kind of putting the skeleton together based on ADP. We're going to talk about that a little bit because whenever you run the simulations and you're drafting against what people are going to do in an actual 16-round, redraft league, roster construction considerations start coming into place where it's like sometimes I'm having to place some of these wide receivers in these spots versus running backs that don't really make me comfortable because I would generally choose the running back there, but just for the sake of guaranteeing that a well-balanced roster is put together through this sheet, it's just every year when I begin to pivot from best ball to actual redraft, it's always an ordeal and a struggle for me. And that's what I've started out this week with running the testing and running the simulations. And we'll talk about some of that with Trash Man. Also, we have a couple news and notes I wanted to get to. And then finally, we'll have Trash Man tell us his do not draft list for 2020. Apparently, that's something that one of our partners tells us is trending right now on YouTube. So we need to make sure and get some sort of trending label up on the video to help as we continue to whore ourselves out in such ways. Trash Me, do you ever really have a do not draft list? For me, it's like, no. I don't. It's pretty stupid we're having to talk about it.
It always depends on the situation.
It depends on the 80. It's just like, I'll draft anybody if they fall. I won't draft anybody. Like, I'll never draft. Like, there are guys on my do not draft list, like Jerick McKinnon. For example,
Frank Gore, newly acquired by the Jets. Frank Gore.
What do you think of that? Because Adam Gase wanted Frank Gore before McKagan went over his head and fucking went and got Le'Veon Bell. Do you think this affects Le'Veon Bell at all?
I don't think it affects Le'Veon Bell as much as it affects – who was it that they picked up? Was it –
LaMichael P. Ryan?
Was it LaMichael P. Ryan? Yeah.
You're thinking about JaMychal Hasty. He was an undrafted free agent to the 49ers.
That's right.
Bad landing spot for him. The Michael Pirine's a good player. He didn't pop off much during the week of the Senior Bowl, but popped off in the actual game. He had the touchdown in the game, and I think he was he the leading rusher. Maybe Joshua Kelly was the leading rusher in the actual game, but the Michael Pirine definitely, I remember, had the early touchdown and looked good doing it. I don't think he's a threat to Le'Veon Bell right now.
No, I don't think so.
Do you think Frank Gore is? Do you think he's going to take? Do you think that Adam Gase is going to take away some goal line work or anything like that? I mean,
I think it's insurance for Bell. I mean, considering what happened last season.
Fair enough. When I'm looking around for trashy news and notes about these guys, man, I could not believe that we're starting to hear buzz about Dan Arnold, the tight end in Arizona. They're talking about this is from via The Athletic, but I'm just looking here on Roto World that the Athletic's Scott Boudreaux speculates the Cardinals tight end Dan Arnold will have a chance to make a real impact this upcoming season. I mean, what the hell is this about? Like, why would a beat writer be? What would
it's
a
slow writer, news cycle?
Right, I mean, now. what is that asshole seeing over the course of this whole quarantine period that makes him think that Dan Arnold's going to have to break out?
I don't know. Maybe he ran into Dan Arnold at the supermarket,
and they would he even stop
had a safe to socially him? Distanced conversation.
Oh God, with the masks on. Hey, trash man,
it's so funny. It's so funny because, like, I'll see people, like, I'll be on my walk with my dog, and like, people feel like if they don't make eye contact, that's somehow like being more, you know, safe. You know, it's just like if they're not wearing a mask or something, it's like, oh, if I don't look at this person in the eye, then I don't feel like I don't feel as ashamed.
Well, are you wearing a mask to walk your dog outdoors?
I wear a mask like under my chin. You know, on the occasion that I run into someone I know, I can just like flip it on.
Oh Jesus but Christ! That's horrible, trash man. Like, why do you even put it under your? You like the sunlight kills this thing. Vitamin D, like this thing doesn't transfer very well outdoors at all. Right? Like you're 6 feet away from people outdoors. I don't think you need to wear a mask to walk.
I'm about making people feel comfortable too in the neighborhood. You know,
if you're so about making people feel
enough for them to see a black
if
man.
You're so, if you're so worried about making people feel comfortable, you should start wearing more deodorant and stop taking your friends to restaurants where you have to eat with your fucking hands.
Never. Sushi is my favorite food, and I'll always eat it with my hands because you're supposed to.
I'm not talking about sushi. I'm talking about the kind of shit you took me to go eat the one time where it's like hot, like noodles and pieces of hot meat and stew that you eat with your hands. Either of you want a fucking fork, they won't give it to you. They're like, no, we don't have that.
I would do that again on my dollar just to watch the discomfort wash over your face.
Look, discomfort washes over my face anytime we start talking about players like Dan Arnold having a fantasy impact. You see the discomfort. And
the only Arnold I want to talk about is Hey Arnold, the Nickelodeon cartoon.
Look, man, I don't even know what that is. But I will say this. I was looking earlier just because I got to thinking to myself, like, What role is a tight end going to have in Arizona anyway? To Arizona, I looked it up on Sharp Football Stats just earlier, and if I can get the window pulled back up, they by far ran the most four wide receiver sets of any team last season. You look at when they went to three wide when they went to one running back. Here, just let me get it pulled up, and I'll tell you the exact stats because we're always so. Always so organized here.
We're pretty exacting most of the time.
personnel grouping here on Sharp Football Stats. So on the type of down, let's just say, come on, Sharp, get this thing going. So type of down, we'll say all downs, navigate here like this. So one running back, four wide receivers. Dude, so they ran that 26% of the time last year, the Cardinals. Do you know what their nearest competition – can you even guess who their nearest competition was?
Running four wide receivers?
Guess it. Yeah. I don't think you'll ever guess it. Buffalo did it 0% of the time. I'm sorry. Yeah. Buffalo – no, Baltimore did it 0% of the time. Buffalo did it 0% of the time. Dallas never did it. Green Bay and Houston never did it. The Chargers never did it. The Giants never did it. The Steelers never did it. The Titans never did it.
Maybe the Bengals.
The Cincinnati Bengals did it 1% of the time last year. Arizona was in that formation 26% of the time last year. The closest, can you believe it or not, trash man, it was Seattle. And was that just because by the end of the season, all of the tight ends were hurt?
Basically.
They did it 9% of the time last year. But other than that, you have a couple of 6%ers. You have Jacksonville, who obviously no tight end of consequence there. Washington Redskins, who did it 6% of the time. No tight end of consequence there at all after Jordan Reed was hurt, right? You're looking at
– consistently hurt.
26% of the time they're in four wide receiver sets, and now they add in DeAndre Hopkins. What the fuck is Dan Arnold going to do in this offense?
Block? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not buying into any sleeper talk with that guy. Not going to be getting him into any of the best ball or now the new PPR cheat sheet that we're beginning to test. A couple questions I have for you, just with the. You know, we had the winners and the losers from the NFL draft podcast that we did last time. And Byron and I got into a discussion about Austin Ekeler and Miles Sanders. The ADP seem really close right now. Do you have any inkling as to where you would go now that we know that Austin Ekeler, I mean, he wasn't really hurt that badly in the NFL draft? I don't think that Joshua Kelly is a downgrade to what they're going to be doing with him as much as it is to Justin Jackson, who is sort of the 1B there. But Phillip Rivers, we know, an elite quarterback at dumping the ball off to his running backs. I'm not sure that Tyrod Taylor is the same, you know.
I think it'll be pretty similar in that.
Okay, but then Miles Sanders, another winner in the NFL draft that they didn't even select a running back, and the running backs behind him, you know, we talked about this on the last pod, but he's just like Boston Scott and Corey Clement and, you know, these dirtballs. With that being said, Philadelphia, it seems like they're so committed to a committee. It feels like we're going to have to be looking at one of these two guys there in the kind of mid-second area is where they're priced in. What do you think? How do you shake that out between those two? Because Byron said he felt a little more comfortable with Austin Ekeler. I maybe do too, but when I begin to project Miles Sanders, he's a good prospect, a good player. He was really coming on towards the end of last season. And they haven't done much to address the position. You know, I don't know if the reason why they've been so brutal with their committees has been sort of out of necessity, whether it's been out of the fact that they have a lot of options that they can generally utilize and they just haven't recently. Do you have any thoughts about that?
All I know is that the AFC West is going to be the wild, wild West, and they're going to have to score a lot of points.
Yeah, well, that's a good point
out there. And so I feel like Ekeler is going to be majorly involved in that. So, I mean, and I do think NFC East has improved offensively across the board.
They've also improved defensively when you look at the Redskins, right? You look at the Redskins. You look at some of the – I mean, the NFC East is not the shootout league that the AFC West is going to be.
Yeah. So I feel like Ekeler, to me, I think he's got similar upside to Sanders, and I think he's going to – I just think they're going to have to – dump it off a lot more to him out there.
Aaron Jones continues to fall down my personal board. Do you like Aaron Jones more than those guys? At Tyler NFL saying he just got here. What did he miss? He missed the trash man talking about how he wears a mask outside to walk his damn dog. What do you think? Aaron Jones, not
Aaron
about
Jones.
Yeah, do you like Aaron Jones?
I only partially wear it just to assuage
just a virtue signal, just to let people know that you have it in case you want to put it on. It's cockamamie.
No, it's about comfort. Again,
do you like any of those guys better than Frank Gore? I'm sorry, Jesus. Any of those guys better than Aaron Jones?
Aaron Jones, yes, I like both of them more than Aaron Jones.
I think I would rather have him than Aaron Jones too. I think I would too. Aaron Jones or Cooper Kupp, if you're in if you're sitting there in that spot, it'd probably be around the 2-3 turn. Cooper
Kupp. Josh Reynolds, five rounds later.
No, five rounds later. You take Josh Reynolds 13 rounds later, trash man. Gee,
I don't know. I think he might creep up.
Okay. Well, he's not. He's certainly not going to creep up that high. How about this? Now, with the Frank Gore news and with the news that Rashad Penny might not, let's get back to the Eagles real quick and just like another bit of news and notes. Do you believe the talk from JJ Arcega-Whiteside that he was hurt badly last year and by the middle of the season he could not even get out of bed to go take a piss?
I mean, I believe that
it would make sense. I'm not giving up on JJ Arcega-Whiteside.
You're not?
Nope. I'm not done. I'm not done.
Are you taking Whiteside or Rager?
Oh, Rager. Yeah, okay. This is more of a dynasty thing. I think that Arcega-Whiteside, they're not going to just give up on him in Philly, and I'm not going to give up on him either.
Well, they can't. They don't have that many other people to throw the ball to.
No, they have a few now after the draft, but I mean, what they got Hightower? Didn't they also get Quez Watkins in the draft and Jalen Rager? They definitely replenished the wide receiver.
For me though, Whiteside is kind of redundant in that offense. I mean, he's basically
Alshon's too old.
He's like a tight end to me.
Oh, a tight end that ran a 4.44 at his pro day. How many tight ends do you know that are that bad?
He's like an Ingram.
What? That isn't redundant with Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. That isn't redundant. He's a big outside alpha X wide receiver. That isn't redundant. It's actually like the perfect cornerstone piece in a comparison to what else they have with these stretch.
How often did he play outside last season?
I think he played outside on every single snap. I mean, I really? I don't know. Listen, I mean, let me see. I just hate this with it. I have to go and open up a whole new Chrome window.
It's not that big a deal.
I'll go to PFF and look. I mean, it's just go to the premium stats and go to by position. We'll look at receiving reports for the wide receivers. Go to slot performance, and we'll just see if Arcega-Whiteside's even on here. Not on page one. Let's see. Let's go to 200. Arcega. So JJ Arcega-Whiteside ran. Let's see. He ran his okay. So Arcega. So let's look at the snap percentage out of the slot is what we want, right? 13.4% of his routes out of the slot last year. So not at all. He's an outside receiver. He's a big X receiver. He's like a Vincent Jackson or Mike Evans. Except much shittier so far in his
career. If he ever got in the field.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with him. All right, moving a little bit farther down the running back list here. I'm having to put Le'Veon Bell and Chris Carson in a whole different tier than some of these guys up here, like the Aaron Joneses, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, even Todd Gurley after the draft. I think he had his situation post NFL draft looks strong, right? Strong to quite strong. Do you at least agree with that? That Atlanta didn't do anything to address the running back position. It feels like they're just ready to get going. Le'Veon Bell and Chris Carson are a little bit farther down the list, but in their own tier, really, before we get to the James Conners, the David Johnsons, Devin Singletary, Jonathan Taylor and stuff. But I'm thinking Chris Carson maybe belongs up there more towards Todd Gurley and stuff because Rashad Penny, it looks like he's going to be injured to start the season. They haven't really done much to address the position. Byron talked about how he thought he was a winner from the NFL draft on there.
Well, the thing is, too, like, it was the same thing last season. People thought Chris Carson was going to take a dive, and he didn't. I feel like he's kind of in that Frank Gore kind of territory every year. Like, oh, well, you know, he's going to have a drop-off or something, and he doesn't. I feel like Chris Carson is underrated right now.
Do you know one guy who's never going to catch the coronavirus?
Who's that?
Frank Gore. There's absolutely no way that guy would survive it. An atomic holocaust. It's just
out there with the roaches.
Yeah, he just we'll all be dusted. Frank Gore will be walking around without a hazmat suit on, eating a slice of pizza. At the wide receiver position, how about this one? A couple guys that I'm just having really a lot of trouble sorting out, a tier I'm having a lot of trouble sorting out. Can you tell me how you rank these guys, or at least within this sort of tier, how you would have them with A.J. Brown, Kenny Golladay? So it's five of these guys. If you need to write it down, I'm not sure if all those years on Sirius XM have helped you with remembering these cockamamie questions. A.J. Brown.
So far.
Kenny Golladay, Juju, Thielen, and A-Rob. Is there anyone who you specifically see at the very top of that list?
Thielen.
Really? Because the consensus says that it's Kenny Golladay right now. If we're just looking at all the ADPs across all the different spots that we're feeding into the mock draft simulator, it's Golladay's going. Yeah, I mean, Razzle Dazzle and Chad is saying Kenny G for him too. I think that he's. I'm not saying I think it's right, but you think it's Thielen up top with Diggs now out of the picture. Okay, it's weird because
if you're just looking at target share, I mean, I think I don't really see who's going to touch him there.
If we're looking at it based on just ADP alone, though, he's kind of at the bottom of the list, not at the top. Is it safe to say that A.J. Brown won't be as efficient next season, and buying into last year's efficiency might be a fool's errand? Or is he just such a G that we're not worried?
I'm not worried because I think he'll get more volume this season.
So do you like A.J. Brown better than Kenny Golladay?
No,
it's probably. Do you what? And then what about Juju? I mean, are we just done with Juju? Are we forgetting that he was a guy that people were taking in the early second round of redraft leagues last year?
The Steelers seem like they're pretty much done with Juju.
The Steelers can suck it if they're done with Juju. They're idiots if that's true. I mean, he's going right now at the end of the third, the 3-4 turn. I mean, how can you not like Juju there?
I mean, I like Juju, but I think it's going to be – I don't think he's going to be with the Steelers that much longer, I think is what I'm saying. But maybe that means he has he puts out this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Who knows, man? I think that we might be sleeping a little bit. I like all those receivers in that category. That's why I'm not usually worried if I miss on, you know – if you miss some of these other guys, it's like,
and that's why I'm going with Thielen and the target share. And I just think he's going to get that much more volume. I think
I mean, trash man, you can come out like if you're picking it so you'd be picking it around the turn, right? For this to happen like this, to where you'd have the 1-2, and then you would have the 3-4. So the end of the third, beginning of fourth. If you were picking at the turn and you came out of this thing with Josh Jacobs and say Joe Mixon or, you know, Nick Chubb and Kenyon Drake or something like that for your first two running backs, and then you went two wide receiver at the next turn and you got Allen Robinson and Adam Thielen or Juju and Kenny Galladay, that's an awesome start, I think.
The makings of a championship team.
Well, you definitely like it better than starting out, you know, Tyreek Hill, DeAndre Hopkins, and then having to go Chris Carson, Devin Singletary.
Actually, that doesn't sound too bad to me, actually.
It all sounds good. Just fantasy football sounds awesome right now, doesn't it? I cannot wait. All right. Speaking of guys who you do not things we're excited about, who are the players you're not excited about? Let's get to it. Drum roll, please. Trash Man's do not draft list for 2020. A very, very contrived topic that we're basically being forced to talk about because you shouldn't have a do not draft list. But we do care about the analytics. We do want you guys to please subscribe here on YouTube. Give us a thumbs up and leave a comment because that does help our benevolent robot overlords at YouTube with the algorithm. Who's on your do not draft list, Trash Man? Let's hear it.
Okay. First off, Odell Beckham.
Okay. He isn't on mine, but I'd like to hear why.
Well, it's not that he's not on my do not. I'm just not drafting him where he is right now in the ADP.
Do you have the ADP?
It's too high.
Do you have the ADP?
It's too high for me.
And just see if they have a consensus of ADP up.
Odell Beckham is 27 overall right now, 10th wide receiver. He's above guys like Austin Ekeler. I'm not drafting him above Austin Ekeler.
Oh, Jesus Christ, no. So we haven't – well – we haven't priced in at about if he fell to. I haven't priced in currently. If he fell to 30, you'd take him. Would you take him over Melvin Gordon or Todd Gurley?
No.
Okay. What about over those guys we just talked about? That tier we just talked because I have the next guy up after that tier above Kenny Galladay. I have Odell Beckham right now. Would you have Odell Beckham?
No.
Those guys?
Yes. Okay. I feel Kenny Galladay has the upside of a Beckham these days. And I think he's a lot more consistent.
I think the Browns are going to be better. I think Baker's going to be better.
Good. Good for you. I mean, but I know that Kenny Galladay is who I think he is right now.
I think what we're going to have to do is we're not going to be all the way out on Odell Beckham in Roster Watch Nation, but I might price him down just a little bit more to where we're going to have to get him at a really good value as opposed to the rest of the market. Maybe if we could get him in that same tier that we were just talking about with the Kenny Galladays, the AJ Browns, the Juju's at that point in time, I think looking at Odell becomes pretty appealing from an upside standpoint for me. If we're talking about a fourth round pick on Odell Beckham in fantasy football, and end of the third, if we price him in there, you're saying it's right now it's 27, so we're talking 3.03. I'm only talking maybe if we get six picks of value there, more like 309, 310. But certainly understand it. Is it just because Jarvis is there? And I mean, Kareem Hunt catches
the football. and it's because Baker Mayfield is still. Do you believe in Baker Mayfield?
Yes,
he keeps making excuses. All right, yes. I want to see it.
I believe in any kid that comes from the shores of beautiful Lake Travis, Texas.
I want to see it first.
All right, next.
Up next, Courtland Sutton.
What? Do not draft? Oh, well, all right. That's fair.
I'm just not drafting where his ADP is right now.
So his ADP, what is his ADP? I
38.
So we have Courtland Sutton priced in somewhere around. I mean, it's pretty close, man. We have him priced in from 39 to 40. If you're choosing between him and like the Le'Veon Bell, the Le'Veon Bell types.
I would take Le'Veon Bell or Courtland Sutton every day of the week.
I think a lot
in
of
that offense.
I understand. I think I would too. But I also think that once you see how drafts go, and once you start seeing how the simulations go, you'll understand that wide receivers are having to get pushed up just a little bit from a roster construction standpoint.
But even so, I mean,
you are gonna lose out on everybody if all you're saying is like, Jesus, you telling me that I can have, you know, DJ Moore or Melvin Gordon? I'm taking, you know, or Todd Gurley or, you know, AJ Brown. I'm gonna take Todd Gurley every time. But the fact of the matter is,
are you taking Courtland Sutton there? Are you waiting for Jerry Jeudy or even KJ Hamler later? I feel like there's too much competition on that offense for him.
I'm not drafting KJ Hamler in a redraft league.
I just don't think that the same targets are there for Sutton this season.
How much of it has to do with your worry in Drew Locke?
A lot of it has to do with my worry in Drew Locke. But a lot of it has to do with my worry and Jerry Jeudy.
Judy's awesome. Hamler's great. I mean, Noah Fant should be taking a step forward. Albert O was Drew Locke's primary target in college in Missouri. He has more practice throwing the football to Albert O than he does Courtland Sutton.
I think
100% true. That's 100% true.
I think you're relying on Courtland Sutton's touchdown equity and. And is that ever something you want to rely on?
Who else is on your do not draft list?
On my do not draft list, Deebo Samuel.
Really? We're getting a lot of him in simulation, so you're going to have to explain to me why. Is it just because of Brandon Ayuk?
I think they're going to be treading on
Jimmy G.
A lot of each other's territory. I don't love Jimmy G. I think Debo's going to be more inconsistent with Ayuk around. I just don't see it being a boon in fantasy. I don't think the upside is going to be worth the gamble there.
Deebo Samuel always feels like such a rock solid wide receiver two to land when I'm running these simulations. It makes me feel awesome to get him. He's not going to be on my do not draft list. I find myself getting a lot of Deebo Samuel, a lot of DJ Chark too, in that same area where you generally get Deebo. Sometimes you can get Chark. Maybe I feel a little bit better about Chark.
I feel better about Chark.
Yeah, I mean, I do. Like, that's the way that the sheet currently, you know, we're obviously still testing. And you guys who are pro members, we're going to get up the PPR cheat sheet as soon as we possibly can. And we'll kind of pivot from the best ball cheat sheet to the PPR cheat sheet, just so we can really start getting into this for redraft season. You can use the PPR sheet for your best ball drafts as well. And just make it a little more streamlined there with that. Plus, once we can start running these simulations on building actual teams that we're going to manage during the season, I like to put my entire focus on that because it's all people are going to care about by the time we get to June and July anyway. So always trying to stay ahead of the curve here at Roster Watch. All right. Who else, Trash Man? You've given us three, all wide receivers.
All of the guys are wide receivers.
All right.
I'm going to do not draft. The next one is John Brown.
I can see why. I'm not drafting John Brown. What is his ADP right now? It's almost like I don't even care.
His ADP right now is 84.
Are you kidding me? Trash Man. I mean, I almost want to show a screen share. Here, I will. Let me do a share screen, and I'll just give you a quick peek. I can't let you guys see too much of the 2020 master sheet. But when I do, look at this, Trash Man. Look what he's priced in at. Count right here. 84. So maybe I need to get him a little bit lower here on this sheet. That's about where it started to feel right, though. Around the I started thinking, yeah, if I can get a running back three and Kerryon Johnson, that kind of that type of player, maybe John Brown fits around there. I would never take him above Darius Geis. Do you know who I need?
Me neither. I wouldn't take him above Geis.
There are a few guys. I need to move him at least. Now that I'm talking to you about this, let's just do it here in live real time. I'm moving John Brown below Deontay Johnson and Emmanuel Sanders. That was idiotic to have him above those guys at all. But that's just how it was imported because it originally gets imported. Well, I'm not going to talk about this, the secrets of the magical sheet. But do you like John Brown as much as Christian Kirk, Mike Williams? Do you like it better than those guys?
It's a coin flip for me with those guys. I might like him a little bit better than both of those guys.
Okay. So, I mean, if he's there in the ninth round or 10th round, you'll draft John Brown.
Yeah.
So, it's why this is the stupidest idea ever to do a do not draft list.
Maybe it should be a do not draft at their current ADP list.
All right. Who's your final one?
That is Michael Gallup.
Even you, a Cowboys fan, you just say, get him the hell out of here, CD Lamb. That's it? CD for life?
Well, I'm not drafting him ahead of CD Lamb.